Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hamid, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invite you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to another edition of Not Just Talk on AM360.org. We're thankful and grateful to Almighty God for your presence this evening. And hopefully we'll have a conversation, called upon a dear friend and colleague to see if he would come on tonight. And we're thankful that the audience, are joining us this evening. There is a lot going on in our world, or you could say worlds in terms of, you know, your own specific individual growth and development, or the difficulty with that area, the family life dynamics, and play in that dynamic of family. I found out relatively late that we all in our families, everybody has a role to play, so to speak. this culture and the people who define it for us. You know, we have individuals that have taken on the roles or invited to take on the roles of describing the reality for the rest of us. And when you look up the word intelligentsia, according to this world's meaning of the term, you'll understand what I'm talking about. But what does Allah tell us about this idea? You find it in Scripture. You find the language in the Bible, the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. And you find the terminology, Khalifa, which means simply men and women who accept the responsibility for not only managing their own life, but managing the environment. I'm going to put it that way. Managing the environment, as I understand it, managing the description of the environment that we all live in a way that will be helpful to us as everyday folks with good walking around sense, so to speak, the common man and woman needing to be assisted. Well, why do we need assistance? Well, Allah wants us, you know, in the Bible, be fruitful and multiply. And it just doesn't mean children. But Almighty God, Allah, describes for us, you know, what he put in us as human beings, as the human family. And a part of that is developing our thinking. And connected with that development is our use of the imagination. We observe our poet laureate, Bilal Abdullah, out of New Orleans, his use of this, his imagination, connected with the insights of the Quran and the life of Prophet Muhammad, and how it's a wonderful presentation that is difficult to resist. You know, when I or others who are hosts of the AM 360 program, or just anyone in general that presents a particular idea, you know, the language is very important in terms of how ideas are presented. But when we present an idea in terms of our relationships and interactions, oftentimes we have to call on God, because, you know, the scientists say that twins, D-W-I-N, you know, those, they can either be fraternal twins. They're the twins that don't look alike, and then they're the twins, identical twins. But no matter how difficult it is to tell these identical twins apart, they have their own inner life. Their inner life is not exactly the same. You know, they have distinctions. And those who live with them are often able, over time, they're able to tell the difference between one twin, identical twin, and another. They're not exactly the same. You know, Allah has given each human being distinction, you know, and the scientists oftentimes will use the differences in the fingerprints as being an identification of our uniqueness. And though even identical twins, their fingerprints are not the same. You know, we all have our distinction. So I thought I would invite a guest. We're going to open up the mic for you if you press one. I really so much enjoy hearing from you and your thoughts. There's a lot going on, but we have to keep in mind that there is a group who are very much attached to the way the devil does things, the way Satan does things. They're very much attached to this kind of sensitivity and sensibility, and they operate like little shaitans, or little Satan, and they invite us to rationalizing things, you know, to put together thoughts, ideas that will have the nature of us deceiving ourselves, you know, or missing the mark, as the Quran mentions in the Al-Fatiha, the first chapter. There's a particular direction that God calls on us to go, coming from Scripture and the example of the prophets who brought those scriptures is very important. The need for a role model is very important in the life of a human being. And we find that individuals will gravitate towards someone that they can identify with. And the excellence of the prophets is that their example of living the life and living the revelation, the revealed word of God that they receive, is very important towards our growth and development. And again, we invite you to press one. This is open mic, but we do, inshallah, we're expecting a guest. And I see a hand raised. Excuse me, I'm trying to navigate some things here. One moment, caller. I recognize the number. Caller, welcome to Not Just Talk. State your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, this is Bilal from New Orleans, Louisiana.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. Allah have given us a big field to work in.
Yes.
Yeah, we take time out and study the direction that Imam Muhammad left for us, and we can reveal progress. But we have to understand, look, you know how they say they got two roads to travel, right? But if you don't get a proper knowledge about a religion, we'll be traveling on a road called Dulamat.
And what
it
is
won't
that?
Be it's not oh it's a road that lead that deal with ignorance and it deal with look, I'm gonna do it like this. I'm gonna have to stop that one because I can't get that word.
Okay.
So I'm going somewhere else with this. Here we go. I was gonna try to deal with it, but I'm gonna deal with something else.
Okay.
Here we go.
You're talking about darkness, you know, Ulema.
Darkness, right. Okay, though. Okay. So in that word, the American system, most of the people are secularized. So they look for control. They look for control from man.
Yes.
We know that the control should be for God. So that's why it's so much confusion. But if you don't study a lot, you're not going to find the information that I have to give if you don't study a lot. And Imam, that was the direction. And you can get a good understanding. That's something I wrote, but I'm just going to give from that. So here we go. It's kind of amusing the way I'm starting off with this, but I'm gonna deal with it anyway. Bilal for president of the United States. They put you rogue. I'm awake. I have a history and I have lives at stake. I have strong faith, too much at stake. In Islamic Republic, the people are responsible for their state. To God be the glory. We are best to tell our story. Man's state of mind and reality, forcing him to look back at his history. The individual needs protection, confusion and fear about the results of the election. Our senses and the whole body serve human perception. The wisdom in our association is our protection. From foreign culture, expression, and religion, our spirit is seen in activity and production. Purity seen in refinement of morals, behaviors of the rules that govern our lives, so we must sacrifice. God has given us insight, helping people to be more correct, more sensible. The Quran helping them to be more responsible. The society has been secularized, also the religious orders. A lot of confusion, deception, and lies. What a way to live. What a way to die. American committing intellectual and spiritual suicide. Human life must be put in the right environment. Work hard, and God will take us as a friend, using our common sense. To God be the glory. We are best to tell our story. Prophet Muhammad revived civilization. Interfaith, believers working together, the best propagation. Real truth began with revelation. The Quran, the best communication, correction, and completion. W.D. Muhammad gave us an excellent perception. He guided us to mutual consultation. You know that there's either, I know Michael here, he mentioned a process. It's a process in perception. It's a certain pattern of thinking. You have to go to your leader, follow Imam Muhammad in this book called Sacred Life Connection, or maybe you have to follow him as he teach you and bring you through the way you should be thinking, and the way you'll find out that what you're looking at is intuition. That's the intuition that comes from that secular society. That's not the intuition that we talk about when we're talking about divine inspiration from God. But see that because what does you're on a path and you think that this is the path that Allah has you on, God wants you on, but that's not it. That's a path of the secular people who runs things, who have the people deceived. It's all about the material. We all about the God who gave the material and who control over the matter. But we have to really sit down. I would advise if we can get this book and have a class and just take you through Imam Muhammad as he goes through explaining the process of perception, the process of thinking, the pattern thinking as he began to break this down. I got into it just today, so I just was able just to give some of that. But
yeah. Tell us what the book is.
Oh yeah, I'm sorry. Education, Sacred Life. Okay, I've got a book. It's on my bed.
Sacred Matter.
Sacred Life Matter. And it's a second edition commentary of Imam W.D. Muhammad, edited by Rana B. Shaheed. This is direction that was left by Imam Muhammad. If we can accept that these are directions by Imam Muhammad that he left us with to go head on with, and then we'll get this book. We have the brother come on Saturday, the late Umar, he sells the book.
Yes.
He has this book. It's available. And we can get this book. We can get this book here and just begin to study it. Imam Muhammad take you all through his thinking process, and he teach. It's like you sitting down with him, and he giving you a class.
Yes.
And he identified things with you, and he have your mind. It get to the point that as you following one page to the next page, you will begin to your mind will begin to fold up into the next. You find yourself into the next subject that he is dealing with, just by where you was at then. So you can see that you're being taken somewhere because your mind is filtering this information, and it's good if you have somebody to go backwards and forwards, and you'll find out y'all will be coming, moving towards the topic that comes in the book. Because that is how that is what Allah gave to Imam Muhammad, that process of thinking, that process of having a perception. And, you have to be sincere, and you have to put in work.
Yes, sir.
You know, and let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. America, right now, this society is a society of fear. You know, because they accepted that the secular man is being in control instead of realizing that God is in control. You're gonna see the results of Trumpism, and as that thing begins to fall apart, they're not as happy as you think they are. Because I studied them. I studied them. When they were doing the lies and going towards the goal, and they got the goal, but I don't. That light is not there with them, because why? Question gonna be asked to Latino brothers and them. Well, why do you support immigration, mass immigration, and do you know the results of that? Your cousin or your relative could be taken away. And he brought it back to 1950. He said when one of those presidents did that, in a way the children are being dealt with any kind of way, the people just torn and put in camps and stuff like that. And it's a 27-year-old Latina man, and he has a group, and they were going for Trump. And when he was asked that question, he froze.
Yeah.
He didn't know what to deal with. Trump is a player in that secular world, and you're in his arena when you're outside of God's arena. And you'll get handled.
Yeah.
You know, what I'm here to try to do, I want all of us to come and get the knowledge and be on the same page so there won't be no, we don't have to go to no lot of bickering. Stay focused on the Islamic Republic. In the Islamic Republic, we are responsible for our state. So most likely, inside of our pageant and everything, you know, we'll be begin to come together on congregational prayer and form committee, form your structure, get your strategy together, and take care of your business. Because why? We are free to practice our religion in America.
Thank you, Bilal.
So praise be to Allah.
Go out of the queue and press 1, and we invite the audience to press 1 to come into the conversation. I am expecting a guest. I told them that we could look forward to them coming on next week, but they told me since we had been talking off air that they would tune in after they contacted another one of the workers to work on a presentation that we're expecting this coming Saturday evening. So a particular way, and I draw your attention to a book entitled Mindset, The New Psychology of Success, how we can learn to fulfill our potential and the areas that it highlights are parenting, business, school, and relationship. The author is Carol, a woman scientist, C-A-R-O-L, Carol S. Dweck, D-W-E-C-K, Ph.D. And I like the book. It presents examples and narratives to highlight the particular information. And I'm going to read a little bit of it while I wait for you to press 1 to come into the conversation. It says, grow your mindset. Which mindset do you have? Answer these questions about intelligence. Read each statement and decide whether you mostly agree with it or disagree with it. One, your intelligence is something very basic about you that you can't change very much. Two, you can learn new things, but you can't really change how intelligent you are. Three, no matter how much intelligence you have, you can always change it quite a bit. Four, you can always substantially change how intelligent you are. So these are four focuses. Next, questions one and two, the fixed mindset questions. Questions three and four reflect the growth mindset. Which mindset did you agree with more? You can be a mixture, but most people lean towards one or the other. You also have beliefs about other abilities. You could substitute, quote, artistic talent, quote, sports ability, or, quote, business skill for intelligence. It's not only your abilities, it's your personal qualities, too. Look at these statements about personality and character and decide whether you mostly agree or mostly disagree with each one. One, you are a certain kind of person, and there's not much that can be done to really change that. Two, no matter what kind of person you are, you can always change substantially. Three, you can do things differently, but the important parts of who you are can't really be changed. You can always change basic things about the kind of person you are. Now, this book and other books that you and I read, they have a particular philosophy, a particular perception based on the author's experience and the like. But for the Muslim, Allah gives us standards. He gives us standards for everything. Standards for our behavior, moral behavior, ethical behavior. He gives us standards for our spiritual life. We have standards for our thinking. And so for the Muslim, we establish our life based on the guidance of God and how that guidance is lived by Prophet Muhammad as a standard. And by doing so, we filter, and this is the point I'm coming to, we are able to filter knowledge and behavior through the lens or through the mechanism of the Quran. We have informed opinion. We don't just, there's a lot of, I feel like this. And there's a lot of individual focus. My thing is this. My thing is that. Well, that's okay for those people that are not Muslim. But for Muslims, we have standards. Standards of behavior represented in how the Prophet lived his life, how the Prophet incorporated God's guidance to him in his life from day to day. And the wisdom from days gone by is that, well, I think Oprah Winfrey talked about it, the advice that she got from Maya Angelou. And that advice is, when people show you who they are, believe them. Don't rationalize the fact that, they may be having a bad day or this or that. People show you who they are. And we see the devotional life in the everyday actions, behavior, thinking of ourselves and other people. You know, our devotional life is expressed in the language that we speak. You know, I think the earlier scripture talks about where a man's treasures are. You know, what is most important to you and me in terms of our life? What values are most important? And this idea of a fixed mindset is one that's described here. Okay, the author says here questions 1 and 3 are the fixed mindset. Let's go back. You are a certain kind of person. That's one. You're a certain kind of person, and there's not much that can be done to really change that. 3, you can do things differently, but the important parts of who you are can't really be changed. So the author is saying that that's a part of the fixed mind. Okay. Did it differ from your intelligence mindset? Can. Your quote, intelligence mindset, unquote, comes into play when situations involve mental ability. Your quote, personality mindset, unquote, comes into play in situations that involve your personal qualities. For example, how dependable, cooperative, caring, or socially skilled you are. The fixed mindset makes you concerned with how you'll be judged. The growth mindset makes you concerned with improving. So I think if we filter this language from the author, D-W-E-C-K, I think we see that in starting out with Al-Fatiha, where we acknowledge God, Almighty God, Allah, presents us an approach to him. He gives us the guidance of the Quran, and the first chapter, we're told, is the essence of the entire book, the entire 114 chapters, and that is that the life we're invited to live begins with the acknowledgement, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, the acknowledgement of the Creator as the merciful benefactor who gives without measure. You know, he makes available. You know, he makes available to us circumstances that we're pleased with in terms of our production, and not only our production, but our safety and our growth. And we're told about the names of God by way of another attribute that's mentioned in this first chapter, Rabb. When the discussion of the names of God is given, we're told about 100 attributes of Allah, Allah being one of them. But here, Rabb is not within the context of those 99-100 names. Rabb, we're told, is the one who nurtures us, who cherishes us, and who evolves us in terms of the systems of knowledge that he has created. And the first one, we begin to observe, we see how the child, the curiosity of the infant, you know, the eyes have to be strengthened because the eyes are not, you know, used to the light and not used to focusing, you know. Much of the life of that child in the womb, that the life of the child in the womb is connected with the life of the mother. So we have this Rabb, like mama and the support of daddy, this nourishing and protecting growing you know, into understanding. And you see the child as its eyes focus day after day, their curiosity. And this is something that we have to have. This is what this focus on the growth mindset is calling us to use our curiosity to stretch our imagination in the direction of better understanding our life and the life of this world, the life of the created matter. The imagination as a tool helping us to see the logical expression of Mother Nature, the logical expression of the life of this world. When I say this world, I'm talking about what God has created, what Allah has created, and also God's guidance. It helps us to understand, as Brother Bilal suggested to us, it helps us to understand of this world that doesn't want to connect with the logic that God presents to us. He mentioned the word secular. You know, the life of this world without an acknowledgement of the Creator, the secular world, the world of intellectual and material attainment, without the consideration of a relationship with the one who created us, and the soul's acknowledgement that one that created us will guide us. So imagination, curiosity and imagination are necessary, you know, to help us with our life. But these things, there's a logic to them being used well, and that is having these qualities that the Creator has given us, having these qualities under discipline. You know, we see the discipline in the world, the outer world that God has created, and when we are able to look at it, when we have sufficient intellectual strength, mind strength, called the akal, when we have sufficient intelligence, then we look at how we operate as a human being and the systems that God has put in place in us, you know? And so this is wonderful in terms of looking at the creation that God has brought into being and enjoying the light that the guidance of God puts on that creation for us. And as we grow in that light, we're able to step outside of the pages of the guidance and see the bigger message in the logic of what God has made as the cosmic world, the created world, Mother Nature. We can see that more clearly with the disciplined practice of reading the Quran. I never forget early in Imam Muhammad's leadership, he talked about a methodology for understanding what's called in Al-Islam the body of reports called hadith, large body of reports of the Prophet, his expression, his behavior. And the Imam told us a very logical and simple way to approach this body of knowledge. He said, read the Quran. And as you read the Quran, you will be sensitized in terms of the behavior, because the best report of the example of Prophet Muhammad being a model for us in our human life is given us in the report of the Holy Quran, the guidance of God. So he said, read the guidance. And then when you read the body works of the what's called the reports, the hadith, you can see whether or not those reports are not only in terms of the physical presentation, but whether or not the spirit of the guidance of God is in those reports in terms of their description of Prophet Muhammad's behavior. I'm going to bring 706 into the conversation. Whatever you want to talk about, welcome. 706, state your name and where you're calling from.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Brother Muhammad from
Alaikum Assalam.
We're Heimberg, Georgia. Alaikum Assalam. I was just wondering, we come down to truth and reality. The disobedience that we are doing, knowingly or unknowingly, in the commands that Allah has given the human family, and specifically those who we have leave no doubt in the reality of their existence here, that he has put them in a situation to be out front, be the imam of the whole situation, which is the one who leads prayer for all people, you know, and especially those who are the workers and the establisher of this reality that we're living in. I was just wondering, why do we keep ignoring some of the basic, clear things that Allah has asked of us to do? And we think that living in this poor reality of worship, just like we don't realize this shirt, just like Imam Muhammad, he brought us, he came in and went out the same way that Allah blessed him to come in. He came in bearing witness that there's no God but one God, one creator, and that Muhammad is his messenger. He brought us all the way back to it, to leaving us with the love and responsibility to carry him onto the destiny that he was saying that we're all supposed to do here. This reality was to establish al-Islam, the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad, and then we will be rewarded with what comes after that. But if we spend so much time away from the truth, and Allah tells us in the definition of shirk, and Prophet Muhammad said it in one of the hadiths, said flattery is a sin. When you give more time to anything, your car, another human being, et cetera, and put his or concerns that you have prefabbed, is more important than doing what God says. And we think that we have a right. The reality of what we live in right now, we're sitting up here talking about a 50-year plan, which is good. Failing to realize the sacrifice is going to be on all those men and women and old people who might die, who might lose their faith during that time, we put together a 50-year plan of what we're doing right now. And after the 50 years of planning, we still have not defined and gave people the hope of what, where we hope to be at in 50 years. We'll still
so
be
wait,
in America.
Wait just a minute. Now, how do you know we'll still be there? You know, see, there are certain assumptions that you're bringing up, and I'm thinking it's based upon,
right.
Based upon what you're seeing now. Now, you know, I asked the question, you know, what you were looking at in terms of, you know, your, you know, it was kind of a rhetorical statement, but, you know, what is the problem as you see it?
The problem is that we are supposed to be, especially in our little reality, of being the number one Islamic voice in America, and we spend more time from other ways of life than Allah has told us that al-Islam is the best way. And he's given the history on how everything that we are trying to save or rebuild or remake is already destined to be our open enemy. It's not here to help
us. Muhammad, the premise of platform is to have not just any kind of voice. We welcome the conversation of everyone, and we really don't like the idea of criticizing or cajoling folks that have a different kind of perception or view. But we want to reason together. That's the idea, and also identify those people that we can work with. You know, I'm reading this book about mindsets, and some people you know, think that we don't have the ability, we don't have the ability to change. But that's not what the Quranic guidance says. And our opinions, our thinking has to be formulated intelligently. It has to be an informed opinion. And if we say we're Muslims, that information has to be the guidance of God and Prophet Muhammad. You know, we can say this or that, but that only shows those that have that insight of a growth mindset that the Quran invites us to. That only shows that they still have room to grow significantly because they're not presenting their opinions in an informed manner with the foundation of the Quran and the life of the Prophet. Go ahead.
Now, if you listen right now, those amongst us who are trying to stay on the path toward the Qibla that Allah turned us to and do this time of the build. We're not here to save nobody. We're here to build a refuge for them to come to as they free themselves from the message that we deliver to them. People are really interested. Is a Muslim? What does a Muslim do? What is the Muslim's goal? This is what they're really, but we spend more time on telling people about Christianity. We tell them more about science. We talk about everything that is a component that comes after we have built a model, a reality where we have hospitals that's based on balance. We have food that is based on balance. We have everything that's based upon balance and worship to Almighty God, the creator of it all.
Okay, so, I'm gonna say to you, Muhammad, because you shared quite a bit with us. I'm gonna put you on mute and ask you to press one to go out of the conversation, and come back. We've gone past the time where I was supposed to give public service announcements. So 213, we see you in the queue. We're gonna come back to you. Bilal, you still got your hand up. We ask you to press one. We're going to take a public service announcement and be back after these messages.
Assalamu alaikum. That is the peace that only Almighty God can give be upon you, and that peace obligates us to keep the peace and promote the peace. I'm your host, Michael Hameen, of Not Just Talk on AM360.org. Join us Thursday evening, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, and 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We look forward to you being with us, joining our guests from inside the Islamic community as well as outside, those men and women who are community builders. And also, periodically on Thursday evenings, we have open mic where you become our guest. So join us for more of Not Just Talk, conversations related to community building. Again, assalamu alaikum.
God's peace be upon you. This is Muhammad Sharif. As we know, everything begins with the seed. Rain International is world leader in seed nutrition and the first to market seed-based products. Our flagship product is called Soul, S-O-U-L. The main ingredient is the black cumin seed. Here are a few reasons to drink Soul. Supports the healthy immune system. Give a body the boost to stay healthy and strong. Improve indigestion. Decrease infection. Remove inflammation and other benefits. This is an opportunity to improve your health and increase your wealth. Please call or text me at 914-434-375. Please join me in supporting CWSC, the Community-Wide Cereal Conference and AM360, in remaking the world into a better place. We support the 50-year human family planning and look forward to doing business with you. Our website is raininternational.com. We are available at any time. please call this number, 914-434-3275. Thank you.
And we're back with more of Not Just Talk. I'm your host, Michael Hameen. And we have an open mic. I told the colleague that I was going to give them a call, and I had intended on calling them during the public service announcement break. But I missed that. My attention was drawn other places. But we're going to bring 213 into the conversation. Welcome. State your name and where you're calling from.
Yes, this is Assalamu Alaikum. This is,
Alaikum.
Yes.
Yes, sir. Yes. Come on in.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah. Now, I know you heard, because I made it a point to introduce what I feel is something that we could do to help the world and to remake the world, you know, like Imam Muhammad told us to do. And, you know, like I've said, because of the book that Kiyosaki and Trump wrote, or the course that they had called, was entitled Why We Want You to Be Rich. Why We Want You to Be Rich. Well, Imam Muhammad commented on that and said that, you know, they're good-hearted humans. So if we do have opportunity, like the leadership, have an opportunity to go and talk to him and tell him about what Imam Muhammad said about him, if he's a good-hearted human, there's three things. Stop arming Israel. Get our brothers off the street. Help us get our brothers and sisters off the streets, sleeping on the streets. And to not be so harsh on the immigrants that he said that he was going to throw out the country. And to keep in mind the children of these immigrants. And so I'll leave it right there. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate that. I mean, and, you know, I heard you discussing the host of the morning program, Imam Adam Biar, brought up the financial literacy issue that you highlighted on our program last week and as I understand it, on other programs. So thank you for what you. I'll just say this. In terms of the invitation to change, or the invitation to invite changes in terms of thinking, when we use certain types of language that challenges a person's, courage or whatever, you know, how they see themselves, it becomes problematic. Language that becomes oppositional, you know, your way mm-hmm. against the way I'm seeing it. It becomes problematic. And I have to remind you as well as I remind myself, because I have this thing in me where there's certain things I just can't abide, you know, and even though, you know, we have to be, you know, we should be respectful of one another. You know, I will interrupt. I've taken a position now. I will interrupt. I will mute. And if necessary, there's an X next to these phone numbers, and I would just disconnect a person that is disruptive. I worked on a commercial radio station, and we had nightly on, in fact, it was a Thursday night program for 2 hours. We had individuals, I'm not saying that you're like this, but we had individuals that had the thinking that they could disrespect other callers and bully me, you know, and attempt to hijack the program. And I would just have the engineer cut them off and disconnect them and tell them to go get their own damn program. Because, you know, a certain behavior, you know, people will disregard your boundaries if you let them, you know. And we have to be mindful of that with one another and where we're trying to go. You know, we're trying to achieve community life. After hundreds of years of being socially conditioned to serve other people's interests in community life and to disregard our own and to see one another in oppositional framework, you know. And it's something that we have to overcome. Now, many of us don't have it, you know, there are varying degrees of it. But I appreciate your thinking, you know. And there are those that say, well, okay, President Trump wrote the book. But, you know, there was a, what do you call them? There was ghostwriters that wrote the book. And however many years ago that book was written with Kawasaki, just as you observe Kawasaki's behavior over that time, and I don't believe Imam Muhammad had a personal relationship with either of those two authors. I don't believe that. But from reading the book and what was put forward, he said, oh, this is wonderful. These rich people really want to see the poor, the striving poor, be successful. And so he appreciated them bringing the book forward. But now years later, and again, I bring the sister, what's her name, Maya Angelou, and her advice to Oprah Winfrey. When people show you who they are, their language and behavior, you know, and you look at it consistently, don't make excuses for them. Just observe it to be, it is what it is. And the movements and the language of President Trump in his last presidential term was not very civil, not very ethical in terms of the approaches and the language that he used in dealing with situations. There's an economic boom that came to people with his policy on dealing with the immigrant problem by separating the children and these children having to be sent to private businesses, you know, for housing them and feeding them and so forth. And it was a money situation, but it was very disruptive to those immigrant families. I'm going to give you the last word. Go ahead. Take a minute or two.
Okay, I'd just like to ask a question then. How would you, because I hear you, I hear what you said, and it's food for thought, it's thoughtful. Let me ask you a question. Why did 72 million Americans vote for him? That's my question to you. Why do you think 72 million
Americans voted? I'm going to give my opinion and ask you to go out of the queue, press one. We've gotten till 9:30. We're at the top of the hour now. It's 9 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Central, and that's an interesting question. And my focus, in terms of the presidential election, was not a very strong focus because I know that what comes after is even more important, and particularly Black folks utilizing the fullness of their freedom to establish self-government like the Latinos and other groups have done. They have their own self-government. They have their philosophy for establishing themselves in a strong position here in America. And I think there's a term, oppositional politics. You know, politics, the word itself, has to deal with polls, you know, the separation. And we have a constitution that says foundationally, it offers us a future, not what we are now, but a future in terms of a more perfect union, it says. Well, you can't have that dealing with gender, male, female, transgender. You can't have that with ethnicity, European. You can't have that with color conscious, white, black. You can't have that more perfect union with these things that we see were floated in the air up to the election, the divisive politics, you know. And now I heard over the air, AM 360 airwaves, I heard, well, the black men is why Trump was able to win. The Muslims and the way that they voted was why Trump was able to win a second term. And you know, but I'm looking at it in terms of the character of the country. And it's been a struggle since the days of chattel slavery for American citizens to see their true human similarities, the natural humanity. And the idea of the chattel slavery taking a people out of their natural development and aligning that development with the interests of the unnatural interests of serving other people's interests and not being connected with serving their own interests. There are a lot of dynamics to it, but I'm going to say succinctly, you know, what happened with the election is the permission of Almighty God, and it's a part of his plan. He's incorporated the election and what comes after in his plan in terms of where he says he's taken. You know, God for the Muslim is not one who created us and then leave us to our own devices. God is taking Mother Nature and the human family in the direction that he wants. But he's respecting the free will and the limited free choices that we have. He's respecting that so we can learn lessons in terms of how to be better human beings. I'm going to stop with that, and I'm going to open up the mic. Oh, 321, welcome. State your name and where you're calling from.
Thank you. Thank you, Michael. The Lacey Umar. Appreciate the program.
As-salamu alaykum.
Yeah, well, as-salam, Melbourne, Florida. Peace and blessings to everyone. I was following very thoughtfully the conversations and their direction. And, you know, I you and I were speaking earlier about positive thinking and positive conversations that respects everyone, even though they may be different from our opinion. I want to circle back to a specific. I'm going to try to be brief. To a specific idea where we have a tendency to think we are not doing enough. And it's based on our own perception of what's going on. I was talking with a colleague earlier today, and my wife and I also looked at some of the social events on Facebook and whatnot that's taking place. There's a fundraiser for a masjid being built in Raleigh. I'm familiar with the architect doing the planning. There's projects being done in Charlotte Cemetery and also other projects on construction planning in the permitting phase, not just planning, but actually going before the legal authorities to get permits, et cetera, et cetera. And same in Miami. I'm aware of projects being worked on. The masjid is being renovated, elevators put in, et cetera, to make it easy for accommodating the disabled, and et cetera. And all around the country, we have various projects that are in the works, community building that we're talking about. And, you know, so I remember Imam Yahya, we was at a conference, and he said that if you're sitting in your bedroom looking out the window and there's a bird that comes right on your tree outside your window, and you only see that bird, you may think that that's the only bird in the world because you don't see any other bird. And I'm applying that to our lack of being informed about activities that our community is doing. I think we got to work a little more diligently to bring forward the positive achievements that's being made all around the country. I remember Atlanta Masjid raised about $5.5 million in one planned strategy. And, you know, these things are happening. The building in the Clara Center in Washington, D.C., these things are happening. And I think we need to start looking a little more positively at what we're accomplishing. You know, I had a friend, and I'll end with this. I was young at this time doing Dawah, and I was telling him, I said, we need to do more, man. We're not doing anything. And I said, we got all this work to do. We need to get busy. And he's 90, by this friend is 96 years old now. Be 97 this month. And he's still living, getting a little weak. But he told me, I'm doing more now than I did before I learned about Islam. Right? I'm doing more now than what I did before I learned about Islam. And that he kind of cooled me down a little bit, right? Yeah, so, and he was the type of person, every week he paid zakat. He paid $5 every week that publicly, I don't know what he did privately, but he would publicly go into his wallet, carefully pull out $5, and this was back 20 years ago. $5 was a little more valuable than it is now, right? And he would put it into the collection. Every Sunday, it would be Sunday Talim, right? Every Sunday, that was what he'd do. And, you know, he did it consistently. Allah, and the prophet said, Allah loves the thing that a person does consistently, no matter how small
That's
it
right.
is. So we
That's
have
right.
to do these small things consistently, and we will get to where we want to be. Thank you, Michael. Shukran.
Thank you so much, Imam DeLacy. Appreciate that. We're going to bring into the conversation, I believe this is Sister Amina. Am I right? Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Come on in.
Yes, sir. This is a very interesting conversation. I'm just coming in on what you're speaking of, and really a lot of what you're saying is on the minds of lots of the people as far as gauging the consensus of the voting public as far as, you know, this is where we're at. You know, we're coming into what it seems as if it's Allah's will and plan for us to really look at our hearts and our minds and you know, what is the good of the believers, the true believers who want the best in spite of all of the turmoil that has happened. And you know, what we're witnessing is that there's a reason why there's all these hurricanes and floods and this, you know, Allah's trying to tell all humankind something, that we need to be, get right and respect our fellow man.
Yes,
you know,
ma'am.
Stop all of the wars and killing, and both domestically and you know, foreign wars all over the world. You know, the greed, the pillage that goes on in some countries, opposed to you know, wealth building and hoarding the wealth in other countries. You know, as if all of mankind does not deserve the resources in their land. You know, it's like it's past time due for things to change. And even though there's been a whole lot of intense, not only identity politics and this and that, you know, everybody's been pressured to pick a side and, you know, go toward the lesser of, so-called lesser of two evils.
Yes.
But it's really for the common good. This is what we need to be as a human society. These same people who want to so-called make America great again, when it hasn't been great for some people. It hasn't been great, you know. There's been oppression.
So
there's been inequality. There's been, you know, and you know, the partisan politics, we're really beyond that, because people are human suffering is happening to everybody.
Amina,
yes.
we should be beyond it, but we saw Tuesday where we really are. It was an indication,
right, exactly,
of the work we have yet to do.
Exactly. That's what I was getting to. Yes. In other words, this is the mindset, you know, of people, and to me, and that's even people that look like us, you know, the mindset and the heart has to. We're in a time of change. Change is, it's in the air, you know. The change has to happen. It cannot continue to be the way it was. You know, we have people.
Amina,
yes.
You mentioned the storm, and when you mentioned,
mm-hmm,
and the other kinds of activities, natural activities, what they call natural disasters, but Bilal mentioned a mindset where the secular mind, man,
mm-hmm,
so ignoring that he doesn't have but a limited control, that the one who created all of this is over all of this. And so what you're,
yes,
saying, you know, that mindset of people are oblivious to the fact to ask the question, what is
mm-hmm,
God trying to tell us something? Is God,
true,
speaking to us through these events? You don't find that very much in this secular world. So go ahead. You know, your last remarks. We've got a couple of more people in the
okay,
in the queue.
And I'll get off. And then the other thing is that they're still trying to bring this nationalism with their religion. You know, that's the other thing. Let's try to still, we have to dominate. We still have to dominate with our way of life. And there's no religious test. There's no religious test in the documents that in the founding of this country, but they want to try to bring that. I mean, it was everything that has happened that cannot continue. Bringing, you know, because we have people of the three Abrahamic faiths in this country: Christianity, Islam, and Judaism. And
well,
you know, so we can't
Bible,
we can't say. Go
I'm
ahead.
Sorry,
what
go
were
ahead.
You saying? No,
I was
going to
say
the
Bible gives us a picture of the hypocrisy, the self-righteous, the self-righteous mind of religious people, you know, and the Quran
yes.
as well, the self-righteous. Go ahead, your last remark.
Exactly. And then what is showing, but yet you have so many people coming to Islam. You have some people leaving as well. I mean, I keep up with the trends, you know. Some people, you know, you have a lot that's going on in Europe and in Asia, you know, where there's a whole lot of, what is it, dawah being done and all of this, you know. But the fact remains is this way of life is more in common with because Islam is more than a religion, you know. It is a way of life, you know. It has more in common with those other two faiths than people realize, and a lot of the people are realizing it. I just saw something where. NASA, Caucasian NASA official, converted to Islam, and they fired him. They fired him.
Yeah. Well, look, we got to go.
Let you go. Salam alaikum.
Thank you so much. Alaikum assalam. And we've got 779. Welcome. State your name and where you're calling from.
Hashim Kamau. Rockport, Illinois. Excuse me. And I just want to
Welcome.
Say,
Hashim. Before,
yes, sir.
Before
How
you,
doing,
you get started, I'm good. I got a question. Did you know Sister Rashida, Christine?
Yes, I did. Yes, sir.
Every time you mention Rockford, I think about her. May Allah forgive her and grant her paradise.
I pray for this stuff almost every day, bro.
Yes, sir. Alhamdulillah. And what do you got for us? What do you got for us?
You know, a lot of people talk about Imam Muhammad. So he read the book about Trump said this, Trump said that. Remember, W. Muhammad also said that he's a psychologist, you know? He was in Mecca one day. He said they got a way of finding out things, you know? And so does America. He don't necessarily mean to do this and do that. He know it getting back to them. He's trying to pick the brain. Maybe he'll do some good. That's all I'm going to say, brother. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you so much, brother. And I appreciate you.
Yes, sir.
Press one to go out of the queue. Let's see. We've got our executive director of Community-Wide Shura Conference. Here, welcome. Assalamu alaikum. Martha Nala Abdullah.
Alaikum assalam. It's Michael Hameen, and to all our listeners, callers, you know, first of all, the praise to Allah is we seek refuge with Allah from the shaitan, the rejected enemy of mankind. And so here we are continuing on, and this is a blessing, and I'm seeing the gifts. The reward, the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has afforded us. First of all, our ability to connect and communicate with one another and to hear one another's voice and our reasoning and such. That ability is a blessing. It truly is. And then to know where we live and what are the benefits that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has afforded us. Well, starting with the Muslim, the development and the growth of those who have subscribe. I'm going to use that word because I'm putting it on a shallow basis of subscribe to being Muslim, and then those who are committed to being Muslim. You know, and that commitment takes in the whole self being true human, and having the spirit thereof, and what we've been blessed to come through, the wombs we've been blessed to come through. And I can speak of identifying myself as, you know, Bilalian, with the connection to, you know, the history of being Muslim and way back, or just going back to that history. But I'm grown in where I live by my effort. And when
the answer is? Yes. Yes.
And
what's the answer is yes.
And it's through the conduit of listening to others, reaching out, going out and reaching out to others, getting to know others, getting to know other people. And the conduit has been the interfaith dialoguing, the working in the community and outreach components, going to the city hall, going to the police department, going to civil action, being part of civil action groups with the intent to maintain, do the building of having a building where we can meet and invite others to come too as we go to their places of worship. Then we all connect and say the whole earth is the mosque. And so our duty is to keep this place clean. This is our home. So alhamdulillah,
yes.
So that's the rise of Al-Islam. So when we hear, when I hear about the attacks that has been referenced, you know, 2001, 9/11, to say, and other situations, that began to have individuals began to get that fear of Muslim being around. Well, I go to the Crusade era, you know, and note that, you know, so we don't have to have that fear. The enemy is the same upon all of us. So I'll stop right there because if we
Thank
study
you.
What our own area has developed, then we'll understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has afforded us benefits.
That makes sense to me. Alhamdulillah. Thank you for that. And I ask you to press 1 to go out of the queue. Bilal, I'm going to come up to you. But before I do so, I'm going to take another public service announcement break. Let's see. Yes, we'll be back after these messages.
Greetings. This is Priscilla Lukta of the University of Islam and Clara Muhammad School National Alumni Association. We support CWSC and AM360 because of their support of our group intellect. From the Model Communities National Resource Directory and Speakers Bureau to American Muslim 360 Broadcasting and more. Join in helping to build our national intelligentsia. If not me and you, then who? Visit CWSC.us today to make your tax-deductible gift at 910-317-0297. Thank you.
On the next episode of Community Buzz, we ask, have you heard? For another episode of Community Buzz, AM360's weekly magazine show, every Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Don't miss it. Assalamu alaikum.
Welcome back to another edition of Not Just Talk. I'm your host, Michael Hameen, and we have a caller in the queue, 636. Imam Kareem, welcome. Introduce yourself and where you're calling from.
Yes, this is Kareem Hameen calling from St. Louis, Missouri. Praise be to Almighty God Allah for this excellent broadcast that you're hosting. And there has been much said that is very beneficial, and it spurs also thought and thinking. You know, as Americans, and this isn't everybody, but the majority, believe that the standard of living that our generation got used to, you know, and they thought that it would ever be increasing and beneficial. But when you follow the money, when you follow the money, it'll take you to a lot of causes. There was a decision made at the corporate level in this country. And that decision was to move manufacturing offshore, to move manufacturing to Asia, other regions of the earth.
That's right.
To take advantage of the low pay scale. You don't have to worry about unions. You don't have to worry about safety regulations. And the people will be on a wage that we could never even exist on. So that decision was made at the corporate level. And in the transfer of the manufacturing of this country was moved to other regions, there are whole towns that were dependent upon the manufacturing base of that town. There are townships and cities in Ohio that sit almost vacant. There is not even enough taxes generated to even meet the social needs. And we have observed this. Almost every major city. Now, I don't mean what has been constructed the downtown so much. But when you go into the city itself, you see buildings that are housing that is sitting vacant, falling in on itself, vacant lots. And these were one time thriving neighborhoods. But the American public, we see this. We see the cities crumbling. And so not knowing what caused that, people become very despondent and upset. And it's very beneficial for a demagogue to elevate himself on the dissatisfaction of people.
I agree.
So we ask, how come Trump got all this support? Well, he addressed an issue that the Democrats have not addressed, and that is the loss of manufacturing jobs. And he said that he will bring manufacturing back and open up the plants and all of that. I doubt that. You know, anyone that owns a business have a right in this free market system to move their business wherever they want to. That isn't a government responsibility. So that dissatisfaction is there. It's areas here in St. Louis that I can drive through, and I remember, boy, the neighborhoods were thriving. There was industry. There was an American car foundry, Brown Shoe Company, McDonnell Douglas, you name it. But that manufacturing, a decision was made at the corporate level to move manufacturing offshore. And you hear the promises of we will rebuild the infrastructure. That hasn't happened, you know. So that breeds the satisfaction that we are seeing in this country. There was always a sense of the future will be better. What will the future of my children be? And there are whole towns, whole cities that are laying desolate and crumbling inside of itself. So I'll stop right there, my brother, and thank you for allowing me to speak. As-salamu alaykum.
Thank you, Imam Kareem. Alaykum as-salam. Yes. Bilal, I'm going to come to you, but I want to back up just a minute. Sister Martha, are you still there? Are you still with us?
Yes, I'm still
Martha
here.
Would you tell us the Friday morning program that you host and the time? It's very important.
Yes, CWSC Friday Roundtable from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. following the recitation of Surah Al-Kahf at 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. and then 8 to 10 is CWSC Friday Roundtable. This week, again, is reporting time. We have a lot to report still. And you want me to go into Friday? Then Juma is Imam Abdul Aziz of Bronx, New York. We started by 1:10, 1:15. So come in at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Yes.
That's from 1 to 3. We end with the tafsir, a commentary of Imam Worthy Muhammad, Rahimullah Ole. And then 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., the think tank, CWSC Think Tank, Community Developmental Stages. Come with your thoughts, your theory, your whatever, your opinion. And then because it will be prefacing education as we will go into education on Saturday at the National Town Hall, 7 to 9 p.m. as well. But then Saturday morning comes first. Alhamdulillah. Thank you.
Thank you. Alhamdulillah. And I just want to say I'm starting to see what was meant by a three-day journey in describing the movement that we have to make in terms of healthy individual as well as community life. It's amazing if we would just step back and consider the kind of environment that African Americans have gone through, not in terms of crying the blues, but in glorifying God, the fact that the African American black folks have gone through chattel slavery and they try to diminish the nature of that slavery by saying everybody, you know, practiced slavery in the world. But there was never, even with the Hebrew boys and girls that you read about in the Bible, they were never interrupted, disconnected with their past, their history, their language. They were never made dysfunctional by virtue of being emptied out and then another reality being put in them in terms of serving the interests of other people. That's a social conditioning that the people who study the mind and study trauma, that they are amazed at how so many of us were able to come through all of that. The Jim Crow and the language of the Jim Crow coming from other people is segregation. But the Jim Crow period was 100 years of lynching, terrorism, you know, bullying, terroristic tactics, killing and mutilating individual African Americans to put fear into us. Even in terms of education, the fear of reading books is something that many of us have a problem with, or the lack of interest in reading books because of the nature of education and how it was denied us and how you could be punished severely or killed for learning to read and teaching others how to read. This is why you have individuals in the political leadership that don't want to share that with the present day educational system, the early educational system, from the lower grades, middle school and high school. They don't want to share that because it shames the people that wear this cloak of civilization and sociability, technological progress. The facts of the matter of what we've been through for many it exposes them as not being the kind of ethnic group that sees themselves in a superior position over other ethnic groups in terms of the race theory, racial identification, as well as color consciousness social occasion. You know, the terms white and black are so easily thrown around. And Isabel Wilkerson described in her book called CAST, CASTE, she had a conversation with an African lady, an intellectual, a poetess. I think she was a poet. And Isabel Wilkerson described how when she mentioned black to the African lady, the African lady said, well, you know, we don't have any black people in Africa. And Isabel Wilkerson, the author of CAST, was so taken aback. You know, well, what do you mean you don't have any black people? The African lady described that kind of language. We don't use that kind of language in Africa. That language of black and white is particular to the West and to America in particular that she was addressing. So shows you the importance of language in a sense and the need for us to be more aware, in my opinion, of language, our use of language. And when we listen to people, listening to their language and whether or not it suggests that they are conscious and aware of the terminology that they're using, and can we see any hint in terms of whether or not there is a psychological connection with the kind of language that's being described. I mean, the terminology, you know, we've had over the years this terminology in politics, dog whistle politics, where certain things are said, but you know the language is put in such a way that it's talking about something else, what's left unsaid. And for instance, when you hear the terminology, and Brother Bilal spoke on it, Brother Muhammad, directly and indirectly, this idea of make America great again, the question arises, you go back in history, and the question arises from Benjamin Banneker. What do you mean all men are created equal and you've got this type of slavery that causes my people to be dysfunctional? I'm paraphrasing. But he challenged the idea in writing letters to Thomas Jefferson in very diplomatic terminology. He called Thomas Jefferson, the Secretary of State at that time, later to become president, he called Thomas Jefferson a hypocrite. You know, you've got this flowery language for yourself, your European American self, you know, and your struggle against Great Britain and the tyranny of Great Britain, the king of Great Britain. But yet a whole group of people put in chattel slavery circumstances that cause the people to be dysfunctional as natural human beings. and it's acceptable to you. And he, you know, very, very, like I say, in very diplomatic language, if you, I think the Maryland Historical Society have those letters that you can pull up. You know, I think you can Google some of that correspondence. In the book of Benjamin Banneker's biography, you know, he's unique in his circumstances as a free black man in America. His grandmother was an indentured servant. Another name for slavery on a timetable. They served 7 years of something like that, and then they could go free. And his mother, after being freed from her indentured servitude, she got land. There was land available to be claimed. You didn't have to pay for the land. The land was free for people to register and to utilize. So she got a parcel of land. She grew a crop. I think it was tobacco. I'm not sure. But she grew a crop. She was able to get enough money, two slaves. One of them she married. And his knowledge of agriculture was such that he increased the material wealth of that family. You know, Benjamin Banneker's grandmother and grandfather, you know, they were able to make a nice living for themselves. So that's recorded. And I guess it's kind of problematic. You know, some of these intellectuals, they don't want to mention the fact of Benjamin Banneker challenging Thomas Jefferson. And I oftentimes wonder whether it's because he had a Caucasian grandmother, you know, and he was a freed man. Those kind of questions come to my mind. The clock is ticking. I don't want to go too far beyond this extra time that we have available because it might get cut off. So I'm going to take about another 2 minutes and then greet you all with the greetings of peace and blessings. And we hope that you'll come back next week. And my colleague that I invited to come on, he wasn't able to make it, but we appreciate the fact that we were able to have you join us on Not Just Talk this evening. We appreciate and value your coming on. And this, what we are looking for, was stated by Imam Wesley Muhammad as he came into the leadership after his father's passing. Community life and the establishment of institutions that are necessary, foundational for the community life. We want a Muslim community life that not only includes Muslims, but we want a life that presents itself to where right-minded people who think like us want to join us in community. And the idea that God tells us about the neighborly needs that we have perform with one another, Almighty God, Allah, in the guidance of the Quran, and Prophet Muhammad modeled this behavior, the protection of people of other faiths, that we are not to allow synagogues and churches to be disrespected. And the idea of breaking crosses and killing the pig it goes against the spirit and the logic, the principles of the Quran guidance that are made very clear that we are in support of men and women of faith that accept the accountability coming into this world and having to act a certain way to get the results from the one who created us and to get the results of the guidance of that one who made the created reality. So, dear listeners, Bilal, I'm going to bring you in for 2 minutes. And I apologize, I kind of overlooked you. But come on back in and share with us for about 2 minutes, please.
I'm just going to read the poem. Alhamdulillah. Political ascension above spiritual ascension. At this time in history, the human soul is the leader. Interfaith people working well together, accepting black, white, red, Chinese, African, British, whoever. The human soul is always ready to embrace the true nature. Believers helping others to have a progressive future. They are in a situation to really humanize their spirit. Good deeds never lose. They will benefit. Fulfilling their obligation as servants of the Most High. This is how they progress. This is how they survive. God wants for us the excellent in this life and the hereafter. Have a workable relationship with mind, heart, and matter. The last stage for achieving in society is the political order. We have a 50-year plan. Let's continue moving forward. A global destiny, a better and productive tomorrow. Study more, live, and share what you know. Raise the people up from just human nature and spirit to political ascension. Build institution at the logical conclusion. Medina is the model for our political vision. Utilize Quran, Sunnah, and mutual consultation. Muhammad was more than just a spiritual leader. He is a leader for all levels. Also, he is a political leader. Study and learn how to give religion so others can love and appreciate it as it improves their condition. Whether it are students in a classroom, audience, or congregation. Man is satisfied, the secular man is satisfied with his accomplishment and wealth accumulation. Belief is to free us to have more energy and more free faith to work with. Knowledge grows up the life of the neighborhood. Collectively we benefit. Muhammad is pure in his nature and in his human spirit. As-salamu alaykum.
Oh, alaykum as-salam. That is wonderful, man. I appreciate that. And I wish I could get a copy of that. That is so inspirational. And we want to thank you, and we want to thank the listening audience for joining us. As-salamu alaykum. Joining us for another edition of Not Just Talk on AM360.org. Again, the clock is ticking. We're going to make a supplication as we try to do to close out our program. We ask Almighty God, Allah, to guide us among those you've guided aright. Save us among those you save. Bless us in whatever you give us and deliver us from the harm that you judge. You judge and none can judge against you. And those whom you befriend are not disgraced. Ameen. Thank you, dear audience. We greet you with the greetings of peace and blessings. Assalamu alaikum.